Rabbeisai, and especially Yasher Koach to all those who have come out today, despite the holiday weekend, when there will be a time to sleep a little later and give yourself a deserved break. But nevertheless, it's very beautiful to see people who have come out in the dedication to learning Torah. The topic of today's shiur is based on a pasuk at the end of yesterday's parsha. We find the Torah tells us that by in Parshas Vayera, so from the 10 makos, 7 of them are described in the parsha that we read yesterday, and 3 of them are yet coming next week. So at the final makos that we read about yesterday was the makos Barad, the makos of hail, and the Torah tells us that when the makos came, so it was very, very devastating, and it affected people, it hit people and animals and the things that grew, everything. There was a tremendous destruction. So the Torah tells us that at this point Paro came and he cried out to Moshe and Aaron, and he said something which he had never said previously. He said, Hashem HaTzadik Baniva Ani HaRashon. He said, Hashem is right, Hashem is righteous, but I and my people are wicked. So apparently this makkah had an effect that previous makkahs did not have. And then the pasuk tells us, here you have it on the sheet in pasuk chavdes, the pasuk tells us, Hatiru el Hashem, that Paro said, please, Hatiru el Hashem, pray to God, Barav mios kolos elokim uvarad, and it's enough that, you know, all this devastation that has taken place should end. Vashalchez them, and I will send you out, Veloso sifum lamod, you won't have to be here anymore. Please, daven to Hashem. To which we find that Moshe's response in Pasuk Chavtes, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vayomer Elav Moshe, Kitzeisi es ha'ir, that when I go out of the town, Ephros es kapay el Hashem. If you want me to daven to Hashem, so you have to wait, I cannot daven here, but I will go out, I will exit the city, and there I will stretch out my hands to Hashem in prayer, and then Hakolos Yechdolun VaHabarad Lo Yehod. Then everything will stop. All of this devastation will stop, and that'll be the end of it. But you have to wait until I go out from the city. Why is that? So Rashi here, right underneath Rashi in Pasuk Chav Tes, says that Kitzeiti Min Ha'ir, says Rashi, that the reason why it's Min Ha'ir, why he had to go outside, Avo B'Sof Ha'ir Lo is Fa'el, but in the city itself he did not daven, he did not pray, L'fi Sha'oysa Malaya Gilulin, because of the fact that the city of Mitzrayim, or whatever particular city it was, where Paro's throne was situated, was filled with idols. It was filled with Avodah Zarah. And therefore, to pray in such a place, the dominant place which is filled with Avodah Zarah, Moshe said, I cannot do. And therefore, if you want me to daven to Hashem, you have to wait until I exit the city, and then I could daven. So of course, the question comes up that one might ask, why is this first an issue at this point? This was, after all, the seventh makkah, and all the previous times also Paro had come to Moshe and asked him that he should go and see to it that the makkah would end, and certain specific times he said pray to Hashem. So the Mefarshim all speak about this. Everybody is motivated to answer this question. So there are various answers that are given. Two of them are the Sifrei Chachamim, in his commentary on Rashi, says that the truth is that really by all the makos that this would have been the case. However, by all the other makos, there wasn't the sense of urgency that there was by this one. In other words, by Barad, it was so bad that Paro said, please pray right now. By all the other makos, Moshe said, I'll take care of it tomorrow. So by the time he got around, he had time, it was not a time pressure. So therefore Moshe had time to go outside of the town and daven, which is apparently what he did by all of them. But by the Barad, where Paro said, please come right now, immediately, pray, daven immediately, this has to stop. So there was no time for him. In Paro's view, there was no time for any delay. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had to say that, listen, I cannot fulfill your wishes exactly. You have to give me a chance to go out of the city. This is one shot which is said by the Sifse Chachamim, and then we find another interpretation in the Rishonim from the Zakenim Mibalei Atosus, who say a very interesting thing, that the idolatry, the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrim was not idols in the sense, in the conventional sense, that they had idols that we know of today, but rather they worshipped their sheep, as we know from subsequent parasha, that the sheep was the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. And generally speaking, sheep do not graze in the city, sheep are outside the city. However, the Torah tells us that when they got the warning about the Makkah of Barad, so the Torah tells us that Hayorei es Dvar Hashem, those who were concerned about what Hashem said, so would go out and gathered all of their, the people went and gathered in their animals that they should not be affected. They had already seen Makkos that affected their animals, and here they didn't want it to happen again, so therefore they gathered in their animals into their homes. And as a result, you had a situation where there was the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim was actually in the town. It was not outside of the town. It was filled, the city was filled with Avodah Zarah, and therefore here it was a problem. In other words, in previous incidents, the Paro could have gotten in Mitzrayim, in whatever the city of Paro's throne was. But the fact is that in this particular case, because all the Avodah Zarah had been brought into town, so he had to give this speech. So these are two of the interpretations that we have, but nonetheless, the fact remains that Moshe Rabbeinu would not daven in Mitzrayim because it was filled with Avodah Zarah. This is Rashi basing it on the Medrash. It says it almost exactly this way in the Medrash and the Mechilta, and this is the way it is. The question is, what ramifications does this have in Halacha? So we find, interestingly, a tshuva that was written by one of the Ashkenazic Rishonim, Rabbi Yisrael Iserlein, who's named his sefer Trumas HaDeshen, and we have it here on the sheet on the bottom. He was asked the following very fascinating shaila. He was asked that there was a person who was traveling, and the fellow who was traveling on the roads in the old days, you know, the roads from town to town, which only had, you know, travelers that would pass by. And he was headed to a city, to a hotel in a city. And in that hotel, and in the city that he was going in, was a place where it was all goyim, and it was filled with Avodah Zarah. So these tshuvas were written approximately in the 14th century. So there was a lot of Avodah Zarah in the town and in the hotel that he was going in. So he asked the shaila, where is it better to daven? So he wanted to know. He asked to daven mincha. So mincha is, you know, there is a deadline for mincha. You have to daven before the sunset. Now this fellow said that I could make it to the hotel before the sunset. However, my question is, should I daven on the road or should I daven in the hotel? What are the issues? So to daven on the road, the problem with that is that, generally speaking, a person is not supposed to daven in an open area where there are a lot of distractions, and especially on a road where there are people passing by, so he could be disturbed easily. So therefore, the halacha is it's preferable a person should not daven in such a place. It's better to daven in an enclosed area where there aren't so many distractions. On the other hand, the person said, but the place that I'm going to has this issue with the goyim, with the Avodah Zarah. So where is it better that I should daven? So the Trumas HaDeshen, we have it here on the bottom of the page, the Trumas HaDeshen responded tshuva. He said, I'll tell you, he said that actually, if it is possible for you to pull off the road, and there is some place where you could daven, where you could stand Shemona Esrei, and people aren't going to bother you, then it's better that you should daven there than go into your destination, than go into the hotel. And he quotes here, he says, why is that? So he says, because in the city, there's a lot of Avodah Zarah, And there is, he says, there's hardly a hotel where you will not find a lot of idols, whatever he was referring to. Probably in Europe he was referring to crosses and different things, right? That there are many such things. And he brings here this chazal, he quotes this medrash, that Moshe did not want to daven in such a place. Moshe didn't want to daven in Mitzrayim because he had the Avodah Zarah there. So the Trumas HaDeshen paskin that it's better that he should, it's better that he should daven on the road if he could. He said it's better to daven there, even though there's the potential for distraction. But if you feel that there's a place where you would be comfortable, that you would not have to be diverted, then it's better to daven there. And then he continues and says, however, the Trumas HaDeshen says, this is only true if you feel that there's a place where you won't be disturbed. However, if on the road there is a place that you might be disturbed, so then he said, it's better to wait till you get to this hotel and go to some location in the hotel where you have some privacy, and there it's better to daven. Why is that? And he quotes the Gemara in the Sefer Brachos. The Gemara tells us that Reb Yossi went into even a churva, the Gemara at the beginning of the Sefer Brachos, that Reb Yossi went into a place, even though it was a risky place to go into, it was dangerous and other considerations, but Reb Yossi, rather than to daven on the road, went into a churva to daven, because it's better to daven in an enclosed area. So therefore, the Trumas HaDeshen sort of played both sides of the fence. The Trumas HaDeshen said, on the one hand, it would be better for you to daven in the field, in the road, if you could. However, if you're not sure that you'll be able to, meaning you're not certain that you'll go undisturbed, then better wait till you get to your destination and daven there in this city, in this hotel. So you will ask, what about this chazal that says that Moshe did not want to daven in Mitzrayim? So the Trumas HaDeshen says at the end, he says, the last two lines, he says, V'af ki ha'itna kol tfilus shelanu hein v'ayoros hamaleos toevos v'giulim. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, what could we do? Today, wherever we are, we're in places, in the Golos he was referring to. Today, in the Golos, we're always in places where there's Avodah Zarah. So therefore, to hold up to Moshe's standard, we can't. It's very difficult, because any city you go to, every place you go, you're in or you travel to, there's always going to be a lot of Avodah Zarah there. So for a person to take the position that Moshe Rabbeinu took, that I can't daven in such a place, he said it would be impossible for us to daven, and therefore he viewed it apparently as a l'chatchila. In other words, he wasn't ready to dismiss what the Chazal say about Moshe completely. L'chatchila, it's better to daven, to avoid davening in such a place. However, b'di'evet, if a person could not daven on the road, so then let him go into the hotel, and even though it's a hotel which has Avodah Zarah and the city has Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless it's better to daven in there, where at least you could have kavana, because of the fact that in our day, what could you do? This is what he said. So this is a tshuva that was written in, as I say, I believe in the 14th century. And this tshuva made its way, actually made it in the 15th century, and this tshuva made its way into the Shulchan Aruch, because if you turn over the page, so we find the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch, Haskins, he quotes this from the Sadeshen. There is, if you read it carefully, you'll see there seems to be a mistake in the way he said it over, the Torshim, the Mishnah Berurah, and other Noseh Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch talk about it, but the fact is, it seems that the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch brings this psak lahalacha, that in fact, a person should try to the best of his ability to avoid davening in a place where there is Avodah Zarah. And then he says, and then the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and it, when he quotes, when the Rambam quotes the Trumas Hadeshen, so he says exactly what the Trumas Hadeshen is. He says, if you can't avoid it, then you should daven, you could daven in a place where there is Avodah Zarah. However, preferably one should not. The Mishnah Berurah, down on the bottom, and I apologize for the way this copy came out, but the Mishnah Berurah says that if a person has to daven in a place where there is the Avodah Zarah, so then he says that it would be better to daven away from, at the very least, he should not be facing the Avodah Zarah, but he should turn his head away, he should turn his body away and daven in a different direction, even if it means not davening to the Mizrach. In other words, if a person was in a place where they had such a thing, so then, and he had to daven, so at least let him not daven towards the Avodah Zarah, preferably he should turn himself away. This is the Psak as it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. So this Shaila, this issue really comes up, this is a relevant Shaila that comes up a lot and in different settings, but particularly this Shaila comes up in hospitals because of the fact that today we have situations where Jews go, people go sometimes, you know, you have most places that the hospitals are either Jewish or Catholic. So therefore, if there's no Mount Sinai or Beth Israel or something like that around to go to, so then very often you go to St. This and St. That and Columbia Presbyterian in New York, or a well-known hospital or places like that. And there could be issues. I don't know, today maybe it's not so politically correct to have these things, but definitely there were situations, and I think there still are, where you're in a place where there's Avodah Zarah, not just in the city, but in the place that you're davening. And so too, this Shiloh would also present itself. There are people who work, it's not uncommon today, again, that in universities that Jews attend, Catholic universities, you have very often, I know, for example, that in the Midwest, the Marquette University, which is in Milwaukee, a Jesuit school, they actually honor more credits, yeshiva credits, than regular colleges do, because they respect the fact that these are religious studies and they have they place a special value on that. So therefore, you could have Jews attending places like that. You have St. John's, you have Notre Dame, different colleges, different universities that people go to, where many, many such places. And again, the question is, you're in a place where there could be, in the building that you're in, or perhaps even in the room that you're in, you know, you have a Jewish professor or a Jewish student, not uncommon, and it's permissible to go there because they don't teach you, you know, they don't specifically teach you the religious studies. But the fact is that you're in a place where there's Avodah Zarah. Now comes time for Mincha. And now he wants to daven. So what's he going to do?
Yes. If I don't customarily cover my head with my talus,
yeah,
would that perform that function if I
do? I'll get to that. Yes. Okay, good. Fourth. Okay, we'll get to that. So what do you do in a situation like that? Or, for example, let's say a person worked in the house of a person. You work in someone's home or in someone's business. And these were religious people, you know, they were religious, and they had different religious symbols. I don't know that a Christmas tree would qualify in that way, but certainly a cross or anything like that would. So now the question is, a person in such a setting, what does he do? So based on this psak that we have, the Rambam brings it, of the Trumas Hadeshen, so clearly, if it could be avoided, it would be better not to daven in such a place, if it could be avoided. Now that would apply, a person who a student who attends such a school, or works in such a place, if you could find a way to daven mincha somewhere else, so then that would really be the best thing. However, if that was not possible, so then the next choice would be, if you have to daven there, at least to daven in a room where there is no Avodah Zarah. Now, if it's possible, the post can say, if there is a room that you can, not every room has it. So you can go into this place. In this particular room, it's free of any issues. So then, it would be better to daven there. However, if even that is not possible, and this happens most commonly in a hospital situation, so where the patient can't move, they're having the room, there's a cross in the room, it doesn't have to be prominent, but they have it somewhere, right? And what are you supposed to do now? I can't leave the room. So the halacha is that we say, if need be, a person can daven in that room, based on this psak of the Trumas Hadeshen, that what could you do? The whole world is filled with Avodah Zarah. Wherever we live in Golos, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, now there wasn't an option in his time. But in our time, so a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, this is actually an additional benefit of living in Eretz Yisrael, that you don't have this problem. Now you don't, at least in a lot of the places, you don't have this problem. But if you live in a Golos where you're surrounded by other faiths and Avodah Zarah, so you have this issue. So the Trumas Hadeshen said, what could you do? What could you do? You can't get away from it. So therefore, if need be, so then a person should follow the psak of the Mishnah Brura, that it would be better at least to daven in a different direction. If the cross is on a wall, so don't daven in that direction. Daven in a different direction. And even if that happens to be on the eastern wall, you say, well, we have to daven to the Mizrach. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's better to daven in a different direction than to have to deal with that. Now, what happens if even that is not possible? Let's say the patient is bedridden and straight ahead is the cross on the wall. So what do you do now? So here we say that it still would be permissible for the person to daven if the person closes their eyes. If you close your eyes, or if you have a talus, if you have the ability to do such a thing, you could pull the talus over your head. Or even if that wasn't possible, if a person is davening from a sitter, to just keep their eyes transfixed on the sitter and not to look up, that would be a better option. But in such a case, it's brought down that when it comes to the parts of the davening where a person is supposed to bow, they should not bow. They should not bow in the direction where there is Avodah Zarah, even though you'll say, well, I'm not bowing to that Avodah Zarah. Obviously, I'm bowing for, I'm davening to Hashem. But nevertheless, there is a problem, there's a concern that it doesn't look good. It looks big. Hey, I have this guy with the yarmulke, or whatever, the woman, the religious woman who's bowing, and there's a cross right on the wall, so it doesn't look right, it does not have the right appearance, and therefore, in that Shmon Esrei, the person would be exempted from bowing. If you usually daven like this, or the times in the Shmon Esrei where you're supposed to bend the knees and bow, so that would all be waived in this tefillah. That would all be waived in this tefillah. Okay, so this is pretty much the situation davening in a place where there would be Avodah Zarah, and which again we have in our times as well, but it's preferable, like I say, if the Trumas Hadeshen said l'chatchila should try to avoid it. In other words, his heter that what could you do? The world is filled with Avodah Zarah, so that heter is only b'di'evet. That's only if you have nothing else you could do, you should try to avoid. You could daven there, but preferably one should try to avoid it. Now, the question presents itself, okay, so this takes care of places where there's Avodah Zarah. But what about in places where there are other objectionable things? Now, it's not Avodah Zarah, but there is immorality and different things. Can a person daven in such a place? And I remember years ago, I was once discussing with someone the most awkward places that a person daven mincha. So I myself was only able to come up, I guess I lived a very sheltered life, I could only come up with like certain gas stations or whatever it was. But the person who I was speaking to said, no, I'm a much better one. He said, I once stood Shmon Esrei in the lobby of Caesar's Palace. This is what he says to me. Right? So in other words, he's standing in such a place. I can't punch him in he had enough. Enough in there that enough Yerushalayim that he would stop from the gambling or whatever, what else was going on to go get up and daven Shmon Esrei. And this is what he tells me, this is where he davened. So at the time I said to him, well, can you daven in a place like that? So, now in a place like that, there would be actually two issues. The issue, the primary issue, which is a consideration as well for a person who goes on an airplane, would be the fact that there are people who are immodestly dressed. You have women all over who are not dressed properly. But I was saying, even so, let's say that wasn't even an issue. Let's say you were able to find the spot. You'll go into the corner. You'll go somewhere in some room, wherever. Maybe they have a little chapel there, you know, for people who, they're down to their last dollar. You can say a few prayers, right? So in such a situation, let's say you would go in such a room, could you daven in that place? So there is a tshuva that was written, Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote in it's dated the year 1952. Now, the person who asked him the shaila, it's not clear exactly what he was referring to. But it seemed that this person had a shul, so it happened in St. Louis, and the person had a shul and was coming up Yom HaNoron, was coming up Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and they didn't have enough room in the shul. They needed extra space for all the misfalim that were going to come. So he had a question: can we rent out a place? Now they don't say exactly what it was, but it's referred to as a makom shekavua lepritzus v'holos. It's a place which generally that place is used for immodesty and for just general, I guess you would say, wildness, or just, you know, wild parties or things like that. I don't know if they were referring to a nightclub or a movie theater or whatever it was, that this was the shiloh that was there. And they said they're going to rent it. They're going to rent out, and obviously whatever goes on there is going to not take place on those days. It's going to, you know, those days they're going to rent it to us, so Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur will have such a place to daven, that big, big crowd and a big, big room, and we'll be able to daven. Now, I just want to point out that the shaila here was not in terms of can you buy such a place and convert it into a shul. That's different. If you're going to convert it, so then the halacha is that is permissible, that such a place could be converted into a shul. There are questions if it was originally a church, what you have to do. Can you immediately daven in the main room, the sanctuary room, or not? But this was not the question here. The question was, they want to rent it for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They're going to rent out this place. Can you daven there? So very interestingly, Sir Rav Moshe Feinstein he wanted to bring a proof. He brought a proof from the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that all things considered, it's preferable for a person to daven in a Beis Medrash than it is to daven in a Beis HaKnesses. Meaning that if a person, at least the person who weren't in a Beis HaMedrash in the old days, so they had a separate place. They had a Beis HaKnesses, which was the building that was used strictly for tefillah, and then they had another building that was strictly used for learning, the Beis HaMedrash. Today, you have shuls, have every shul, or most shuls have some sort of Beis HaMedrash room in the building, that the side room where they have svarim and people come in to learn. But the question Gemara discusses is, if you have the choice to daven in these places, so if a person is in the Beit HaMedrash and he has a minyan, so is it better to daven there, or should he travel to the shul? So the Gemara says that it is preferable to daven in the Beit HaMedrash, and that is because of the fact that it has the additional advantage that not only will you daven there, but this is a place where Torah is studied. And a place where Torah is studied gives a special kedusha to the makom, and due to that, so that makes it that this place is a preferred place to daven. This is what the Gemara says. It's actually a discussion in the Gemara back and forth, but this is pretty much the way the Gemara comes out. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you see from this, he said that when we talk about tefillah, when we talk about davening, so it's not just enough to daven, but what goes on in the place that you daven has an impact on the tefillah. In other words, the Gemara is saying that it's preferable to daven in a Beis HaMedrash than it would be in just a simple Beis HaKnesses, because of the fact that this place has the advantage that Torah is studied here. So you will say, so what does that have to do with, but I'm davening now. Davening is not, I'm not studying the Torah, but I want to study the Torah, I'll stay here. So says Rav Moshe that apparently you see that what goes on in a room impacts on the Kedusha and of the room, and it impacts on the degree to which the tefillos are answered. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, daven there, because since that's a place of Torah study, so therefore, the tefillos will go even farther. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein that if that's the case, we can infer that the opposite would also be true, which means that if a person is in a place where things which are not the greatest take place in this room, so then that would also affect the kedusha of the tefillah. And then, in other words, he says the same way it's true in the positive, it would be true in the negative also. And therefore, he says that it's very clear that he, again, in the tshuva, it doesn't say exactly what this building was used for, but he says that if this is a place where this is an immoral place, a place where bad things take place, so then how could one assume that the tefillos coming out of that place are really going to get very far? It has an impact, it taints the tefillos. The same way a Beis HaMedrash has the ability to uplift the tefillah, so a place of immorality has the ability to downgrade its tefillah. And thus, he paskin that it would be forbidden, even though the shul that wanted to do this was pressed for space, and I don't know what the alternative was, and maybe they would have to cram in people, or maybe they would even have to turn people away, but he said davening in such a place is not an option. So that being the case, so then it would seem that getting back to Caesar's Palace fellow, that in a place like that, a person should not daven, even a person with, you know, without getting into whether a person should be there at all, but let's just assume that you were the mashkiach and the glad kosher food service that they probably offer, and you needed to go in there, and now it was time to daven mincha, so it would be better to go out of the building than to daven there, because in such a location which is miyuchad for a lot of bad things, so that would not be a preferred place to daven. This is Rav Moshe's psak. And thus, a person really, you know, has to make a judgment in various situations. I say again, mincha is where all these shilas come up. Chakras you can control, ma'ariv you can control, you'll daven early in the morning, you'll daven late at night, no problem. But mincha can't wait. So when it comes, and a lot of times the person finds themselves in places which is not the, you know, maybe for whatever reason, after business, whatever, this place may not be, there's avodah zarah, there's different things going on. So this at least, it would seem, would be a consideration. If it was truly a place of immorality, so then it seems that the psak is that it's better a person should not daven there, and even if it would mean missing the minyan or whatever, they made a minyan there, or something like that, it would still be better not to daven there. Of course, in our world, you know, as a kid growing up, it was only a dream when going to a baseball game that there should ever be a minion in such a location. You know, that many Shmon Esrei was said in Yankee Stadium, B'yichidus, back in when I was a kid growing up. However, today we have almost everywhere, in almost every city where there's a sizable Jewish population, it's filled with mincha ma'ariv or mincha, whatever it is, that a minion gathers together to daven. So, you can't, I would imagine that could not be equated exactly to what Rav Moshe said. After all, a sports stadium is not the same as probably what he was talking about. I wouldn't put it on the same level as a nightclub or a casino or something like that. But again, the question would be, l'chatchila, is it better? If you had the choice, I'm talking about chat mincha. Oh, here's a mincha. I'm walking out. You know, it was a Sunday afternoon game in the summer. The game is over at 4:00. The shkia is not till 7:00. But there's a mincha right here, so let's daven right here. We'll take care of mincha right now. So I don't know. It could be that in such a situation, it's better to daven in a place where there's more kedusha. That there's no question. This is what Rav Moshe said, in a makom where there's more kedusha is better. If you can't, you can't. So I would imagine there, okay, it's done all over. You can't say that it's wrong. It's done in every city. I guess they distinguish between sports, which is not a davar ha'aser, as opposed to some of the other places. But nevertheless, that would be this is another case where the shaila commonly comes up, is this an appropriate place to daven? Now, it should also be noted that again, a separate issue would be if there are people passing by, if there are women passing by who are not dressed properly, which is common in such a place. So then, the halacha is that in such a situation, you obviously can't daven in that direction. If there are people walking by, so then you shouldn't daven in that direction. You're davening right in front of people who are not dressed properly. Even though, in a case of need, like such as on an airplane, if there was no other choice, a person could daven with their eyes closed. A person could simply close their eyes and daven because I have no choice. I'm sitting in my seat in front of me and on side of the women who are not dressed in the proper manner. So what could you do? I have to daven, so I'll daven with my eyes closed. But where it's avoidable, the halacha is, it's clearly that it should not be done. And in a case where there are such people, it's better to turn in a different direction, even if the direction is not Mizrach. Now, the davening Mizrach means you're going to be facing people who are walking by who are dressed improperly, so then it would seem that would be in the same basic concept as the Mishnah Berurah's case, where they have an Avodah Zarah on the wall, and it's better not to daven towards that wall, even if that wall is in the Mizrach. So this I think would cover a lot of the places that come up, situations where a person needs to daven. Now, finally, I would just end with a halacha which is not so well known, but also very relevant, and that is it's not on the sheet, but this is found in the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Sadi in Sifchav Gimel, that the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. The Shulchan Aruch says that when a place where a person davens, there should not be very distracting things in that place. For example, there should not be like very ornate curtains or whatever it is to daven right in front of in the direction of those curtains. A person should not do it because of the fact that it disturbs the kavanah, because you're davening in front of this incredible sight, and it's very easy, very natural that a person will be pulled in at some point to look at it, to gaze at this tapestry or at this painting. Or the same thing would be in a case where there's a spectacular view, where you're davening by the Grand Canyon, you say, oh, Marabu Masecha Hashem, what an incredible thing. Now I'm going to say Shemon Esrei. Okay, it may be an inspired moment. On the other hand, if you're facing the view, so then you're very easily distracted. Because how can I daven now? This is one of the most spectacular views in the world. So the Shulchan Aruch says that a person should not daven in a situation like that, and if there's any distracting thing. And the Mishnah Berurah brings yet another psak and says that also is fa'o keneged hamara, that in addition to this, there is also a prohibition davening facing a mirror. Now, davening facing a mirror is a slightly different consideration. Aside from the fact that it may be distracting, you know, a person wants to look at himself in the mirror, or a woman for that matter, with davening, but there is also the fact that when one davens in front of a mirror and he bows down, it gives off the appearance, or even without bowing down, that he's praying to himself. Because here I am, right there, who you're facing straight ahead, and who am I talking to? So even though obviously that's not the intention of the person who's davening, but nevertheless it gives off a funny impression. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says here a very strict ruling that one cannot daven in front of the mirror even if your eyes are closed. In other words, by all the other cases where a person is davening in front of something that's distracting, so if need be, you could daven in front of something distracting as long as you close your eyes, so at least you won't be distracted. In other words, if people in different situations, they make a wedding in a hotel or something, so they're looking for a place to daven, so in the hallway there are pictures on the walls, so really it's preferable a person should not daven in front of paintings just because of the fact that it's distracting. However, you say, well, we have no place else to daven. So in a situation like that, the person should either close their eyes if they're able to recite the Shemoneh Esrei by heart, or at least daven out of a sitter and make it their business not to look up from the sitter. So I'm davening every word out of the sitter, and in that way I will not be distracted. However, when davening in front of a mirror, because the issue is not distraction, but the issue is that it looks bad, so then it doesn't help any of these things. The person's going to close their eyes, what does it help? But somebody else who passes by, it looks funny, like, who are you praying to over there? So in that situation, a person could not do it, a person could not do it even with their eyes closed. So this comes up in situations sometimes where people, there are places where people daven with this glass, with a glass that gives off a strong reflection, and things like that. It really, people should not daven there in such a location. This is a halacha that's not so well known, but nevertheless, this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch. And I would just end, end where we started with the question of Avodah Zarah. So a common question which comes up in hospitals and in airports is if they have a chapel in the building, which is very often they do, especially in hospitals where they have a room that's designated for tefillah. So there, if the place, it seems that I didn't have a chance to look through well, but I saw it brought down that if the place is if it's a Catholic thing, or there's a cross or something like that in the room, then even though their intention is that anybody could daven there, but nevertheless you shouldn't daven there, because that's really a place where you have the problem that there's a Avodah Zarah there, and the fact that that place may even have been established primarily for those people, which would make it worse. However, if it's completely non-denominational, if it's an empty room, it's an empty room. It's just this is a room where you could pray. If you want to pray, you can come pray in this room. So there are matirim, there are people that allow it, even though the room may be used by other people of other faiths, but nevertheless, there is nothing about the room. It's just a room that was set aside, a quiet room for prayer, for meditation. In such a place, there are people that say that one would be allowed to daven.